Lord, we worship you tonight, this morning, Lord. You are worthy of all praise, of all honor, and all glory. We thank you, God, for your sacrifice. God, it's the reason that we gather. It's the reason we come together, Lord, centered upon you and what you've done for us, Lord. God, that free gift of grace that we receive through faith. But Lord, let us live a life that is worthy of the sacrifice that you made for us. God, let us count the cost as you counted the cost, as you put your eyes on Calvary. Lord, you endured the cross because of the joy set before you. God, your joy was to be with us and us to be with you. And I pray that our joy would be the same, to every day have fellowship with you. But God, let us see the world around us, those that don't know you. And let us count the cost and we'll do whatever it takes, Father, to reach them. Lord, we just worship you this morning. We thank you. And pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Is anyone who is excited that we have had our first snow? Anybody besides my wife? All the girls in the back? Who is like, I'm not ready for this? I'm not ready for this snow. It's not Thanksgiving yet. I'm there too. But it's here. And let's praise God for it. Well, this morning I'm excited to share with you guys the word of that God has put on my heart. If you're visiting with us, I want to encourage you, come back another week. Pastor Dave is actually speaking at a church that we planted in Burlington right now. And so make sure to come back and listen to him. He's a great teacher of the word. But this morning, the title of the sermon that I'm going to speak this morning is called Inside Out. Inside Out. It's based upon a movie that came out a couple years ago. Has anybody seen the movie Inside Out? A couple of you guys. It's kind of a funny movie, and the interesting thing is they have a really unique, creative way to actually show a lot of brain science and how the brain actually works in the movie. So it's a kind of a fun movie to watch if you haven't seen it. It was kind of an interesting movie for me because the main character in the movie is this little girl named Riley, who's from Minnesota. And I'm not a little girl, but my name is Riley, and I'm from Minnesota. So it kind of, as soon as I watched the movie, kind of caught me in my attention. But for those of you guys who haven't seen the movie, it's kind of an interesting concept of, it's like the movie's about this girl, but it's more so about what's happening inside of her mind, right? All of her emotions, her joy, disgust, sadness, anger, all these emotions are given a character. And they are, it's like they're living out these thoughts inside of her brain. And when something happens, like when her parents told her she was going to move to California, right, then anger is trying to take the controls of her mind and like start to, you know, or disgust is trying to change her actions and stuff. And the idea of the movie is that we live from the inside out, that our thoughts and our mind and our emotions flow out into the things that we do. It's actually a very biblical concept we're going to talk about today. But did you guys know that the average person has 30,000 thoughts every single day? Think about that. The average person has 30,000 thoughts every single day. And with how fast-paced our lives are, especially here today in America, I don't even think we have time to think about what we're thinking about. I don't even think we have time to process, okay, now what we just live and we have thoughts and then we act and it's like this fast-paced life that we don't even really have time to filter what is going on in my mind, what is going on in my thoughts, the things that I'm believing, the things that I'm allowing to settle in my hearts. And as we're going to see today, our thoughts and our mind and our emotions are the key to living a victorious walk with Christ. It's the key to living a life that God has called us to live is making sure that our thoughts and our minds and our emotions are lining up with the Word of God, are filtered through the Word of God. This is a battle that we can't afford to lose, church. It's a battle that we have to fight for, and we have to take the time to make sure that our minds are biblical. We have the mind of Christ. God calls us to protect and examine our minds because what's in our minds and our hearts flows out of everything that we do. So let's pray this morning, and we'll jump right in. Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. that we can come together and gather, centered upon you and your word. And I pray, Father, that as I share this morning, God, that it would be your words and not mine that are sent out, Father, that it would get deposited into our hearts, and that it would produce a fruit, and that it would change us, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So Pastor Dave was just in a series on 1 Peter. And in one of the first messages, he said this phrase that's just really stuck with me. And maybe you guys heard it as well. But what he said was, we need to gird up the loins of our minds. Does anybody remember hearing that, or have heard that phrase before? Now, if you're like most of us, the first time that we've heard that, whether we were kids or maybe it was this last sermon that Pastor Dave preached, we're probably like, what in the world does that mean? Gird up the loins of your mind? Like, what does that mean? And so I wanted to take us back maybe to back when this was written on what they were talking about. So I have a picture that I want to show you guys. They're going to put it up on the screens. So this is how they used to dress. Aren't you thankful that, Pastor Dave doesn't come and preach and something like that on a Sunday morning? But they would wear these long flowing robes. And when the phrase gird up your loins was kind of this idea of, listen, you're about to go into a battle or you're about to have to do some hard labor. And this tunic, this robe, is going to get in your way. So what they would have to do is they would have to gather it at the front like that. Then they would pull it between their legs and grab the slack. And they would either tie it around their waist or tuck it into their belt, so that they would be free to run, to go into a battle, to whatever manual labor they were going to have to do, and they wouldn't get tangled up and tripped up by their robe, by their tunic. So that's kind of a visual for you. So that was something they actually did during this time, was they girded up their loins when they were ready to do some action, okay? Now that's what they would do for that, but what does it mean to gird up the loins of your mind? Because, you know, I don't think Peter's talking about cloth that's in our brain or anything like that. So what is he saying? You see, I believe that what Peter's trying to tell us, what God is trying to tell us through Peter, is that if we don't deal with the loose ends that exist in our minds and emotions, if we don't correct those parts of thinking that we know are wrong and remove them by the authority of the Word of God, then we are choosing to permit those things to exist in our minds, and they will hinder our steps and slow us down in the race, in our ability to successfully walk with God. Because what ultimately Peter was saying was, listen, there is a task, there is something that you need to do, you need to be prepared, because you're living in a world that is not biblical, you're living in a world that is not Christian, you're living in all these foreign places, and if you're going to walk and do the things that I've called you to do, you need to make sure that your mind is biblical, that your mind is girded up. Otherwise, just like that robe, it would tangle them up, and they wouldn't be able to run the race God wanted them to run. So the connection between our thoughts and our words and our actions are sprinkled all throughout Scripture. We find this concept all throughout. And so this morning, I'm going to read to you guys several of these verses. The first one is in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. And as we read these texts, I want you to think about this. I want you to think, how is this text talking about what I think and what's in my mind comes out as actions, okay? It says in Luke 6, 45, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from your heart. Now, when it says the word heart, what that really means, it's the seat of your thoughts and your minds and your emotions. So what is on the seat of your mind, your thoughts, your mind, and emotions? It's saying that if you produce and store up good things in your heart, in your thoughts, in your mind, in your emotions, then out will flow good things. But if you're storing up evil thoughts, unbiblical thoughts in your heart, then those will come out in actions as well. Romans chapter 8, 5 through 6 is another verse. Here's what it says. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So what you allow to control your thoughts will ultimately begin to produce actions. Psalms 119, verse 11, here's what it says. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. doesn't say, I really am trying to be careful not to do the wrong thing so I don't sin against you. It's not saying, every time I mess up, I'll repent so that I'll not sin against you. It's saying, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because whatever we store up in our hearts is going to begin to come out in our actions. When we'll just respond to whatever we have in our hearts, whatever we our mindset is, what our heart set is. And my favorite verse that talks about this is Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. Guard your mind. Guard your emotions above everything else, because it determines the course of your life. Think about that. Every action, every word starts with something in your heart, in your mind that you begin to think, and then all of a sudden, you're saying something that you didn't want to say, or maybe you're doing something that you wanted to do because you've been storing up God's word in your heart. So, in light of those passages, and there's other passages in the scriptures, here's your first point this morning. Consistent thoughts lead to consistent actions that will establish habits and shape our lives. I'm going to read that one more time. Consistent thoughts lead to consistent actions that will establish habits and shape our lives. Because if we begin to think a certain way over and over and over again, then all of a sudden we're going to act that same way over and over and over again, and it becomes habits. And our habits truly is what shapes our lives. It's what brings direction to our lives. It's what leaves a legacy, is those habits that we begin to put into practice. And some of those habits are good habits. Maybe you just have such a strong conviction about the importance and the power of the Word of God. So because of that, you've created a habit of getting in the Word of God every single day. And not only getting in God's Word, but putting it into practice. And because of that, it's established habits and it's shaping your life. But the same is true in the opposite. And so the call, church, is to gird up the loins of your mind, to allow the Holy Spirit to show us those places in our life that are unbiblical, that our heart set is not what is on God's word. Because God has an action. God has things for us to do. God's plans for the church today is not just to hang on and survive until Christ returns. God wants us to go. God wants us to reach out. God wants us to stand firm in our faith, to be the light. But why do so many Christians in America fail to share their faith on a regular basis? Why do so many Christians in America sometimes feel like defeated and feel like the battle's already been lost? I believe it's because so many times we allow other things besides Christ and His Word to occupy and rule our minds. Consistent thoughts lead to consistent actions that will establish habits and shape our lives. The enemy knows, church, that the battle is in our minds. The enemy knows. He's sneaky. The Bible calls him the liar and the father of every single lie. Think about that. The father of every lie is the enemy. He tries to sneak in and he tries to get us to think unbiblically towards each other. Man, if I can just get them to build up bitterness towards each other, then they're not going to spend their time loving them and encouraging them. If I can just get them to just be angry at their coworker, then they're not going to share the gospel with them because they're going to be too busy thinking about why they don't like them. He tries to get into our minds. He tries to limit what we can do. And I think this truth is portrayed so perfectly in a video I'm about to show you. In this video, it's a video that talks about fleas, and you might think, well, how does fleas have anything to do with this concept? But I think after the video, you'll see. So would you guys turn your attention to the screens and watch this?
It requires a glass jar with a lid. The fleas are placed inside the jar, and the lid is then sealed. They are left undisturbed for 3 days. Is opened, the fleas will not jump out. In fact, the fleas will never jump higher than the level set by the lid. Their behavior is now set for the rest of their lives. And when these fleas reproduce, their offspring will automatically follow their example.
So I don't know if you caught it, but they put these lids in, and it might have been hard to see on the screens, but these fleas were jumping out of the lid. They were jumping higher than the jar, higher than the jar, higher than the jar. And then they take this lid, they put it on there, and then for 3 days, these fleas jump up, hit the lid, jump up, hit the lid, jump up, hit the lid. For 3 days, they're constantly jumping up and hitting the lid. 3 days later, they take this lid off, and what happens? These fleas have been trained that they can't jump any higher than that anymore. And they only jump, even though there's no lid, it's an imaginary lid, they just jump that high for the rest of their life. And the crazy part about it is that when they reproduce, it says that their offspring will only jump to that height as well, even though they were capable of jumping higher and jumping out of that lid. Consistent thoughts lead to consistent actions that will establish habits and shape our lives. I think this illustration is so true sometimes with us in the church, because the enemy tries to put worldly, unbiblical lids on us. The enemy tries to get us to believe that, no, we can't do that, or this is too big for God, or I'm not, you know, I don't have what it takes to do this, even though God's called me. And when we allow the enemy to come into our minds and put these unbiblical, worldly lids on us. So your next point this morning is worldly, unbiblical lids can keep us from touching heaven and impacting the earth. Worldly, unbiblical lids can keep us from touching heaven and impacting the earth. Church, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. Jesus says, you'll do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father and I'm sending you my Holy Spirit. But I think so many times as a church and generally across the country, we settle for just coming in and listening to a service and then going home and doing our routine with our work, and it never really causes things to change because we don't allow it to change our minds and our thoughts. We have the ability to touch heaven. We have the ability to impact our earth, to impact the world around us, Walworth County. But we have to recognize those worldly, unbiblical lids that we have in our minds and our hearts, and we have to take God's word, and we have to tear those things down. You see, God has a plan to bring heaven to earth. He wants to use us to bring heaven to earth, but we have to get rid of those worldly, unbiblical lids. Now, in a short time like this, it's almost impossible to go through every single possible unbiblical, worldly lid that could be in our lives. Because the enemy is sneaking there. He knows where each of us are weak, and he does so many different things. But I believe there's three of them that I want to focus on this morning that I think that the enemy tries to put on us. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. What I'm trying to do through this message is to pique your minds and your interest to think about this, to go home and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. So let's just take a couple minutes and talk about each of these. The first one is I believe the enemy wants to put a lid of fear in our lives. One of those fears is a fear of man. Well, what will they think if I do this? What will they think if I talk about my faith at my job? Or if at Thanksgiving when my family comes together, I really truly talk about what I believe in my faith? It's a fear of man. We got to know what the Bible says about that. It says, don't fear men who can only kill the body, but fear God who can throw both the body and the soul in hell. There's scriptures that we can use to begin to tear down these lids that the enemy tries to put on us. I think a huge one is fear of failure and ability. We see this all throughout scripture with Moses, right? God calls Moses to go and to go to Egypt and deliver his people, but he's like, well, I can't talk, what am I going to say, and all these different things. It's this fear of, I can't do it, I'm not enough. And you see it with the Israelites going into the promised land. Oh, they're bigger than us. They'll swallow us up. Do you see the size of these people? And it's this fear of inability. But what we have to remember is God isn't asking us to move the mountains. He's asking us to be obedient. And he's the one that does the work. And so we sometimes allow these fears to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Well, I can't serve in that ministry. I don't know what I'm going to say. What if I fail them? What if I don't do things right? And we have these lids that we allow the enemy to put in our minds that keep us from touching heaven and impacting the earth. Another lid, I think, that the enemy tries to put in our lives in subtle ways and sometimes not subtle ways is how we view others. Because our actions towards each other start with how we think about each other. How we treat each other and how we act towards one another, it all starts with how we think about each other. And the enemy tries, even in the church, to get you to, oh, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they wore that to church today. I can't believe this. I can't believe that. And then what happens? We don't love them and encourage them to good works like God wants us to, because in our minds, we have angst towards them. Or the enemy tries to get us to allow anger and bitterness towards others. Maybe it's a family member. It could be that maybe they're coming home for Thanksgiving and you're already thinking about it, about what you're going to do. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a complete stranger. And sometimes, church, people do things and we have almost every right in a worldly mindset to harbor bitterness and anger. But what happens is that when we allow bitterness and frustration and anger in our hearts towards other people, then we're not going to show them Christ. We're not going to show them his love, because in our minds and in our hearts, we've already decided how we feel about them. I believe that's why God hates gossip. Because you begin to talk about other people with somebody, and you begin to change the way they think about that person. So then your actions will follow. Jesus showed us what we're supposed to do. He didn't just tell us to love our enemies. He didn't just tell us to love those who persecute us. He modeled it. Because Jesus was able to see past the outward circumstances and see the most important thing, and that was a person's soul, that they were a soul that needed to be saved. Jesus, we all know how mistreated he was. I don't think, you know, the Bible gives us a story, but I don't even think we can even concept of how badly he was beaten, how badly he was treated. But yet he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because Jesus saw past the mistakes they made. Jesus saw past their failures, and he saw their hearts and their souls, and there's something that needed to be touched. And if we can see people the same way that Jesus did, it's going to take that lid off, and pretty soon you're going to start reaching out to your coworkers. You're going to start reaching out to your family, and you're going to begin to share with them the love of Christ, and then maybe they can in turn get saved. But the enemy wants us to change how we think about each other. And the last one is, I believe the enemy wants to put lids of distraction on us. If I can get them to stop focusing and thinking on God like they're supposed to, then they're not going to live the way that God wants them to live. So this year, my wife and I, we had a garden. We had been talking about having a garden for years. We've been married for 7 years now, and it's like every year something would happen and we couldn't have one. But this year, we got a garden in. We got to plant it. We tilled it. My father-in-law helped me till it. We got everything planted. We were so excited to be able to come and to harvest all of that we planted. Although, it didn't quite go as I was hoping, because life happened. And 2 weeks later, I haven't really had a chance to think about the garden, and all of a sudden, the weeds are at my knees, then they're at my waist, and pretty soon there's just weeds everywhere in the garden. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it happens. I didn't have the time to maintain it because there was too many distractions, too many things, and some of those things were more important than the garden, and that's why. But there was too many things going on, and I couldn't take the time it took to weed the garden so that those seeds could really grow like they were supposed to. The good seeds ended up dying because I didn't have time to protect them from the weeds. Our intentions were great. We had every intent to allow that garden to thrive, but because of the we weren't focused on it, the seeds didn't have a chance to grow. And that reminds me of the parable of the soils. I want to read you guys a passage of scripture. I want to give you a little background. Jesus is telling a parable about the sower that scattered seeds on different kinds of soil. The seed represents the word of God, and the soil represents our hearts and how we receive the word. And I want you to think about the analogy of the garden and distractions and not being focused on the seed and how that relates with this passage of scripture in Mark chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. It says, "The seed fell among the thorns," represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. So things that you have to do, right? You have to, things you have to take care of. By the lure of wealth, well, I'm going to spend my time doing all these things because I need to make more money so then I can buy that and so I can do this. And by the desire for other things, well, I want to go do that. I want to spend my time and do that. It says, but then no fruit is produced. See, there was nothing wrong with the seed. There was nothing wrong with the thing that was planted. The problem was is that the soil was too distracted to allow that seed to take root and to bring change and to bring fruit because they were so distracted by the worries of this life, by the lure of wealth, and by the desire for other things. And I think so many times, church, the reason that we don't live a victorious Christian life, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. The problem is we don't allow the Word of God to last in us long enough to change us, to change our minds, to change our hearts, to bring about action. Listen to what it says in Psalms 1, 2 through 3. It says, "But they delight in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank. They bear fruit in every season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." There's something about taking God's word and meditating on it and allowing it to sink into the depths of your hearts, allowing it to change your minds, that will produce fruit in your life. But the enemy wants to keep us distracted. He wants to keep us focused on other things. I don't know about you guys, but I'll just be honest with you. There's some Sundays I'm at church and Pastor Dave preaches a message and I'm like, man, that was so good. That was so good. And I'll write it down in my journal. I'll take notes. And then by the end of the week, I'm like, what did he talk about again? Anybody ever been there besides me? Why? Because we hear something that's so good, because the seed is so good, but then life happens and we get distracted and we don't allow the word to really truly change our hearts and our minds. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says, "Since you have been raised to new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand." Catch this. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. What do you think about? Are you thinking about the things of heaven? Are you thinking about the Word of God? Are you allowing it to change us? Are you thinking about the things of this earth? Have you truly died to this life? We need to gird up the loins of our minds. So, how do we overcome this? Because some of these things in our hearts and our minds have been deeply rooted since we were kids. There's so many other things that I could have talked about of maybe people in your life that have spoken things into you like you're worthless, you're never going to amount to anything, and you heard it every day for so many years that it's just kind of been, it's sank into your hearts and your mind, and now you're afraid to go and do anything because you think that you're worthless, you never amount to anything. There's so many things that the enemy tries to plant into our mind, so how do we overcome it? Well, we're going to find out that the Bible is actually ahead of science in this. But I want to talk for just a brief moment about this lady named Carolyn Leaf. She's a Christian, but she's also a brain scientist. And she's been doing so much research, and here's what she's finding about our thoughts. And here's what she's learning, is that when you have a thought, okay, so maybe when you were a kid, maybe just this past week, whether it's biblical or unbiblical, it doesn't matter, that thought circles in your mind, and it stops in your frontal cortex. And then you have to decide, there's really three options. Either you're going to ignore that thought, or you're going to affirm that thought and agree with it, or you're going to reject that thought and say, no, that's not true. But here's what happens. If you do one of the first two options, you ignore it or you affirm it, then that thought begins a circle. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. It's almost like driving a car and making a rut. And what they're learning is that eventually, if you continue to affirm that thought or you begin to ignore it, that your brain will eventually just take whatever that thought was, whether it was biblical or not, and it stores it in your mind. Your mind has like this library of books, and it stores it there, and no longer are you even contemplating that thought, but now you're just living and acting as if that is true, even if it wasn't, even if it was a lie that the enemy put there. And so that's what she's learning, and that's what they're learning about our brains. And that's why I think the Bible says what? Take every thought captive to Christ. And it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, don't copy the custom and the behaviors of this world. Catch this. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. By changing the way that you think. And what they're finding out is that these deep-rooted lies or these deep-rooted thoughts can actually be reversed by taking those thoughts and thinking differently about them, thinking, you know, changing that thought. And that's what God calls us to do. And so we're about to close this morning. But before I do, God put it on my heart to share with you guys just this vision that he gave me as I was praying several years ago. I was spending some time in prayer, and God just like showed me almost like a little movie. He showed me this truth, but I want to share it with you guys because I think it lines up so perfectly with what we're talking about this morning. And so I want to invite you guys for a moment just to close your eyes, and I want you to picture this with me, and then we'll close with the verse. I saw it was like this desert. And there was this river that was flowing through this desert, but it wasn't water. It was actually a river that was red. It was a river of blood. And I saw this river flowing, but then all of a sudden, in the middle of this river was built this wall. It was this wall made of bricks. They were like yellowish-orange bricks, and they were like really old bricks, like crumbling bricks. And you could see cracks. And what happened was this river of blood kept pounding against this wall, pounding against this wall, pounding against this wall. And then pretty soon what happened was all of a sudden that river, it broke through in a spot. There was a crack and it broke through. And then it broke through in another spot. And then it broke through in another spot, in another spot, until all of a sudden this wall just came crashing down and the river flowed freely like it was supposed to. And I was talking to God after he showed me that, and I was like, okay, God, what does this mean? What are you trying to tell me? And what he was telling me was this wall are lies that the enemy has built up in people's minds and hearts, and they keep them from experiencing me as I want them to. It keeps them from living how they're supposed to, as I want them to. But the Bible, or God told me that he's pounding against those walls, and he wants to knock them down and bring freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and truth brings freedom. And so your last point this morning is there is a crack in the foundation of every unbiblical thought or mindset. There is a crack in the foundation of every unbiblical thought or mindset. And the Holy Spirit wants to begin to reveal to us, to each one of us, what are some of those lies, those unbiblical mindsets and heartsets that we have, so that we can begin to change the way we think with God's word. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. It's like that wall that kept God out, and God was pounding against that wall. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. The wording used here is it's like a battle. It's like a war. It talks about weapons. It talks about waging war. It talks about knocking down strongholds. It talks about destroying false arguments. And I believe it talks about this like as in a battle, because it is a battle that we face. And if we don't fight, we're going to lose. If we have 30,000 thoughts every single day, and if we just don't think about what we're thinking about, then we're never going to change. Because God's word, we need to take it and tear those strongholds down. And the thing about it is it takes time sometimes. It's not just like we read God's word and he shows us something that we've been harboring in our hearts and he corrects it and then everything's perfect all the time. It takes time that every time that thought comes up, every time that lie comes up, you say, no, this is what God's word says and this is who I am. The next day the enemy might come, hey, why don't do that? Don't say yes to that. What if you fail? What if God doesn't show up? No, this is what God's word says and this is what I'm going to do, that God is with me and that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal what those things are in our hearts. And then we need to begin to say, okay, God, this is what's in my heart. What does your word say? And we use his word to tear down every stronghold by continually renewing our minds when those thoughts begin to come up. And so this is how we're going to close. I believe, church, that as we all, if we all were to do this, if we were all to say, Holy Spirit, if there's anything in me that doesn't line up with your word, I want you to bring it to the surface and I want you to change the way I think. If we all did that, I believe we would see revival because we would all be living and acting in the way that God called us to live and act, whether we're here at church, whether we're at our workplace, whether we're at home. I believe God is stirring something up in our church, and I believe that God is calling us to gird up the loins of our minds so that there's nothing that can entangle us and hinder us from accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. And so here's how we're going to close. I'm going to invite everybody just to stand. Matt's going to lead us in a song, Spirit Break Out, Break Our Walls Down. And as we're singing this song, I'm going to invite the pastors that are here, and if there's any elders here, to come up. And if you already know what that lie is and you want prayer, or you want maybe some help finding some scriptures that you can use to tear those things down, come and talk to us. Maybe you just want to come up as a sign of prayer and kneel down and just say, God, if there's any walls that are built up in my life, I want you to break them down. I want you to reveal them to me. This is a time of prayer, time of allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us about the things in our minds that need to change. And after they're done leading the song, Matt will dismiss us. So Father, we just thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you, God, that you have given us everything we need to think biblically. God, that you have given us the mind of Christ. You've given us your word to change how we think. And I pray for every person here this morning that, God, you would bring revelation in our lives to those things that in our hearts and our minds that we've harbored maybe since we were kids, or maybe it's a new thing, but it's unbiblical, or it's not who you say that we are. And that you would begin to correct and change how we think so that we can live and act how you want us to live and act. So Holy Spirit, would you break down these walls in our hearts? And would you move in us as we pray and seek you, Lord? In Jesus' name, we pray. If you need prayer, we'll be up here. Spirit, let the Spirit speak to you tonight.
Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down.
Sing that again. Spirit, break out.
Spirit, break out. Break our walls.